Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
All right. A special time this week because Joe Klatt requested that we give O.J. Simpson his spot at 5:15, and then he would swap it for 4:15.
He said that O.J. was his biggest hero.
This is the trifecta. And this week, we discuss O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, we do.
And who he gets the room with.
So let's go back to before O.J. turned into the biggest cretin that pop culture has seen in some time. As early life-wise, he was a San Francisco kid that obviously was, his athletic prowess kind of spoke for itself. He went to the City College of San Francisco in the mid-60s before he transferred to USC. And he absolutely was spectacular. He led the nation in rushing both years under new head coach John McKay. 1,880 yards his senior season, which would get him that Heisman Trophy. And he was the first pick in the 1969 NFL-AFL draft, which was held by the AFL's Buffalo Bills. And he wanted the largest contract in professional sports history, which I wasn't aware of at the time. I mean, not at the time. I wasn't born yet. But he wanted $650,000 over 5 years.
So, like, even more than Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, you think about that. That was 50 years ago, and he was asking for a contract that doubled Caitlin Clark's. 50 years ago. He threatened Ralph Wilson, the Bills owner, that he was going to become an actor, pull the Jim Brown move, and skip pro football altogether.
You better take threats from OJ seriously.
Right? And Ralph Wilson said, okay, let's do it. And again, for people that of a certain age, I missed the OJ window of playing professional football, not because I wasn't aware of him in the 70s, but they never showed him. And by the time I became conscious of pro football, the Bills weren't a hot commodity on CBS or NBC or anybody that was carrying football at the time. And I was certainly aware of the 2,000-yard season that he had in 1974, 3, 5? I can't remember. But anyway, I don't want to explain the football career of O.J. Simpson. What I want you to hear is the late, the great John Facenda, the voice of NFL Films, as they put together a montage of running backs. O.J. was featured as being one of the best in the history of the league. Again, lost because of what happened in the 90s, but there is no denying the greatness of O.J. Simpson.
For 11 years, he was a marked man. But an entire defense was more likely to wane and lose its concentration before the juice. Still, every Sunday there came voices proclaiming that on this day, the great O.J. would be stopped.
And we figured out scientifically, without any prejudice, who's going to win the ball game. The Steelers are going to win because they're hungry. They didn't have no breakfast today. They've been waiting for the juice!
The laughter would soon fade away. For once again, it was time for the juice to turn it on. Simpson rushed for 200 yards against the world champion Steelers, and he would break the 200-yard mark a record 5 more times. Before O.J., a 100-yard game was the standard. The juice did that by halftime. Before O.J., the 1,000-yard season was the standard. In 1973, the juice had 1,000 by mid-season, and everyone wondered, could he gain 2,000? December 16th, 1973, Shea Stadium. In that final game, O.J. needed 197 yards to reach 2,000. Like the legends of old, he'd have to do it on hell frozen over. Those who were there will never forget the sight of him slipping and crawling over his muddied blockers, edging ever closer to that magic number.
Edging.
He left the Trojan horse and the scarlet pom-poms of USC behind. Over 11,000 yards and four rushing titles later, O.J. Simpson was the second leading rusher of all time. Indeed, he was an old-style hero for the modern game.
Until he killed two people.
So watching him again run the football in that montage, it is so spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about...
Oh, my God.
You talk about a downhill runner.
Yes.
Like, he just looked like he was a boulder going down the mountain and nothing would stop it.
There is a ton of Marcus Allen, oddly enough, in him, and a ton of Adrian Peterson in him.
And Gale Sayers, because he was...
The speed.
He was faster than everybody on the field.
Wow. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. I'm assuming that... He retired second all time. Was Jim Brown number one? Had to have been, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
He's now 21st all time in rushing, 11,236 yards, 4.7 yards a carry. And yes, he had to get a buck 96 to pass 2,000 yards in 14 games.
Yep.
In the snow. It was so crazy. One of the all-time great seasons in NFL history. He was the MVP. Went to the Niners after his knees were shot for a season, but he was cooked by 1979. And then, of course, came the rest of the story. And when the murders happened and we started learning the history of O.J., the real history of O.J. with his significant other, Nicole Brown Simpson... The thing that stuck out to me was, and I'm not sure how quickly news organizations found these phone calls, but certainly as public, we were not privy to this information. OJ to us was a pitch man. OJ to us was a broadcaster. OJ to us was a movie star, an actor.
Yes.
We had no idea what a monster he was then and what a monster in waiting he was, but here... is one of the many calls that Nicole Brown Simpson made to 911.
911 emergency.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record. Could you just send somebody over here?
Okay, what is he doing there?
He just drove up again.
Somebody over? Okay, wait a minute. What kind of car is he in?
He's in a white Bronco. But first of all, he broke the back door down to get in.
Okay, wait a minute. What's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Okay.
Is he the sportscaster or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. What's the police? What is he doing? Is he threatening you?
He's going nuts.
Has he threatened you in any way, or is he just harassing you?
He's going to hear him in the middle of the
day. Okay, just stay on the line.
I don't want to stay on the line. You're going to beat the shit out of me.
Wait a minute. Wait, just stay on the line so we can know what's going on until the police get there, okay? Okay, Nicole?
Kind of sounds like you're overreacting.
It's so creepy, dude, to hear those.
So creepy.
And I, you know, I.
Is he threatening you or is he just kind of standing there and doing nothing and just being OJ?
You know, in a few of those calls too, you can hear him in the background.
Yes.
In a full rage. You remember those?
That's what I remember.
Holy crap. What?
Is that he didn't even care that she was on with 911 to change up his delivery.
And the dude. He got away with it. He got away with it all, not just the murders, but the lead up to it. Because nobody wanted to believe it was true. He was friends with a lot of the cops. He was friends with a lot of...
And he's funny Naked Gun guy.
I know, man.
Everything.
And how about the fact, though, that, again, different time, But how about the fact that we had no clue? How is that? He was one of the biggest stars that there was out there. No one had a clue that this was going on.
Yeah, it wasn't even like it was in the tabloids.
No.
Like he must have had powerful people that would just kill any story for him.
Well, in society at the time, I know this sounds crazy looking back 30 years, but when we were boys 50 years ago, domestic violence was very easily shrugged off as...
So sad, dude.
Right. As maybe he was triggered in some way that would justify this, right?
Yeah.
And by the 90s, it at least became problematic. But, I mean, it's just a different societal view on how that was treated by the generations before us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something to be kept in house. Let them put this out behind closed doors.
Now, obviously... Ultimately, murdering was always seen as a real problem, but taking a swing. I mean, I remember Bobby Cox and how many of these athletes over the course of time that would have a situation like this, and they'd even get arrested, and then they'd go right back to their jobs, and it was a little like maybe a DUI. Like, okay, knock it off, dude.
Well, I mean,
don't do that anymore.
Remember on
that's all it was.
This may have been in the 90s. I mean, you're talking about very recent history where Barbara Walters was interviewing Sean Connery. And Sean Connery blatantly said, sometimes you have to hit a woman. And he stopped himself and said, never with a closed fist, always with an open hand.
Right, but how you got to get your point across sometimes.
And we were just like...
And he's on national TV, not really thinking anything of it.
No, it was no big deal. I think we handed the guy an Oscar, like, within that same year. Here, go, you're so great. It is un...
I mean, imagine what life was like in the 40s or 50s if you had a violent husband. If the 80s and 90s felt like... collective shrugs. What could it have been like?
Right, because you were the ultimate indentured servant. You couldn't go live somewhere else. You couldn't go get a job.
Well, dude. And you know,
and he's on a 911 call going nuts in the background as she's crying and sort of letting you know she's terrified for her well-being.
Yeah. He was doing commercials in the 80s. And in the 90s, before all this, his Q rating, I mean, he had a million sponsors. His Q rating was on par with anybody out there, meaning America trusted him as much as they did. The number one spokesman at the time was Arnold Palmer. He was the most trusted face celebrity that America had when it came to endorsing products.
How many people has Arnold Palmer killed?
I don't think you can relate the two, but they did commercials together. They did Hertz commercials together. OJ walking down the golf course with Arnold Palmer staring us in the face talking about Hertz. That's how trusted of a man he was. All the while, he is beating the hell out of his wife. It is absolutely shocking. So, yeah, it's the good and it's the really, really, really bad with the guy. So,
on that note,
what a paradigm. Lando?
No.
DJ?
I'm pretty good at separating the art from the artist, but I'm having a hard time here.
Well, I mean, this is the
I vote yes for the whole.
This is the fiber of this segment is, again... There's a element of recognizing fame, not signing off on whether they were good humans or not.
I think Pat Robertson needs a roommate.
We're not guarding the pearly gates here. We're simply...
Or are we?
Well, we can certainly morph into whatever you want.
Wouldn't that be weird if we found out when we all go up there that we were the gatekeepers?
Yeah, we walk up and, oh my God, that's Trifecta Lakes right there.
Beautiful.
Wait a minute. Am I in the hole? We do have a hole with the worst of the worst.
Yeah, who's in the hole, DJ?
Gosh, I don't even think I have that list.
I think it's like Iron Sheik, Ted Bundy.
It's a weird
Bob
list.
Bob Knight.
It's a very weird
yeah,
list.
Yeah, Bob Knight might be in there, too.
The Iron Sheik does not
belong. Iron Sheik go down there?
That was Ty's suggestion, too.
He was playing
too.
A character.
Yeah, he didn't belong down there.
You put him in there with a double murder.
Well, he can be, he's the guard. Iron Sheik, like,
okay,
he watches
the guard of the hole.
He watches the stairs and makes sure they
the
don't go upstairs.
Guard? Yeah, he's the hole guard.
Did we put Henry Kissinger in the hole?
I think we did. He's not a good man. Not a good man.
Just make it up as we go.
Not a good man. All right, well, let's stick OJ in the hole. All OJ right. does not belong up there with the good people that we put in three-bedroom apartments. He will never see the light of day. All right,